Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
We're in Colossians chapter number 4. Paul is introducing to us at the end of this epistle to the Colossian believers of some friends that he had that were helpful in his ministry. We've already looked in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 at Tychicus, who was a dependable friend. We found out that he was trustworthy, a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. And he talked about a new friend in verse number 9. We talked about Onesimus. Now, Onesimus had a history. He was a runaway slave. He got saved. He became a faithful and beloved brother. Paul reminds the church at Colossae, listen, Onesimus is one of you. Probably attended church there with his Christian master. One way or another, he came to know the Lord. Paul probably led him to the Lord, told him, listen, you need to go back to your master. You need to go back. So he wrote this letter to Philemon saying you need to welcome Onesimus back and treat him as a brother because they're brothers in Christ. How exciting is that? Well, we're ready for verse number 10. We're going to look at another friend of the Apostle Paul, Aristarchus. What we're going to learn about him is he was a loyal friend. Verse number 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Now, that's not very much information right there. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. The Bible mentions him in some other places, and we can begin to paint a portrait of who this Aristarchus was. First of all, he was a friend for troubled times. I want you to turn back to the book of Acts, and we're going to look and paint us a picture of what we can learn about this loyal friend. In Acts chapter number 19, I want you to look with me, if you have your Bibles, beginning in verse number 23. The Bible says, and the same time there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius, and there he is, Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Now skip over to chapter 20. Look at verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus. There he is again, accompanying the Apostle Paul on this missionary journey. So as Paul's ministry at Ephesus was coming to a close and this great riot happened, guess who was caught? Even though Paul wasn't caught, they did catch Gaius and Aristarchus. And so he was taken into custody in the midst of that riot. Why? Because he was with Paul in troubled times. He was one of those loyal friends that it didn't matter how tough things got, he was going to be with the Apostle Paul. He would have his back. And so when that uproar had ceased and Paul continued on in this missionary journey, as recorded in the book of Acts, guess who was still with him? Guess who traveled with him and ministered with him? Aristarchus. Paul describes him in our text in Colossians as a fellow prisoner. Fellow prisoner. If you look in Acts chapter number 26, I want to look at verse 32. Acts 26, verse 32. The Bible says, "Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty," he's referring to the Apostle Paul, "if he had not appealed unto Caesar. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adrantium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus of Macedonia, Thessalonica, being with us." Here he is again, Aristarchus, traveling with the Apostle Paul. Now, his affiliation with the Apostle Paul was made voluntarily, and he apparently voluntarily became a prisoner. When Paul writes the epistle to the Colossians, that's how he refers to this man. He refers to him as a fellow prisoner. And so we believe this probably because of his association with the Apostle Paul, that he also became a prisoner in Rome. So think of all the things that Aristarchus went through because Paul went through them. Towards the end of his Ephesian ministry, at Ephesus, he was there with Paul. There was a riot. Who was caught? Aristarchus and Gaius were caught. Why? Because they were there helping with missionary work. And then Paul finally made his way back to Jerusalem, and there was another riot. And there the Apostle Paul was arrested. And there the Apostle Paul was then imprisoned for 2 years in Caesarea, till finally he appeals to Caesar, and he has to go to Rome. So all of this time that has taken place and has passed because of the imprisonment of the Apostle Paul, whenever there's movement, you see Aristarchus there. It's been suggested that when he was on the ship and experienced the shipwreck with the Apostle Paul, that perhaps Aristarchus presented himself as the servant of the Apostle Paul to get on that ship. We don't know. All we know is that he was with Paul during all of these things. And then when Paul did get to Rome and he was placed under house arrest, the Bible says, we read this in Acts chapter 28. Verse 16, Acts chapter 28, verse 16, the Bible says, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoner to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him." Then if you skip down to verse 30 and 31, the end of the book of Acts, this is what we're left with concerning the Apostle Paul. He's under arrest now. He's at Rome. He's appealed to Caesar. He's under house arrest, and the Bible says in verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. It's amazing how God blessed the ministry of the Apostle Paul, even when he's in prison, under house arrest in Rome. He's still preaching the gospel. He's writing the word of God, epistles to these churches, such as at Ephesus and at Colossae, getting out the word of God. And what was his concern for the church at Colossae? False teaching. His concern was that they wouldn't fall prey and be deceived by the false teachers that were coming into the church and preaching something other than Christ and Christ alone. The point here is that Aristarchus was a loyal friend throughout all of this time that we've looked at in the book of Acts. He was with Paul. He was a friend for troubled times. Now, if you go back to Colossians chapter 4, let's look at the next friend that's listed here. We talked about all these friends of the Apostle Paul. They're regular people. They're like you and me. The only thing that made them stand out is that they loved Jesus and they loved the Apostle Paul and they loved ministry. But look at this next one. In verse number 10, he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Paul mentions Marcus as one of his friends. One of his friends. Who was this Marcus? Marcus listed here in chapter 4 is the same person that we'll think of as John Mark. John Mark. We're going to call him a reconciled friend because there was a point in time where the Apostle Paul and John Mark were not the best of friends. In fact, if you go back to Acts chapter 13, we're introduced to John Mark or Marcus, however you want to refer to him, it's the same person. But over in Acts chapter number 13, looking at verse number 1. Now, Paul and Barnabas have been called, set aside by the church, to embark upon the first missionary journey. We read about it in Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Samos, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also, look here, here he is, here's Marcus, here's John Mark, John to their minister. Now, look with me over in chapter 13, or verse 13, in chapter 13. Skip over to verse 13. Now, while Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Let me tell you what happened. This first missionary journey, Barnabas and Paul, started off so well. They went to the island of Cyprus, and they've evangelized the whole island, and then Paul said, let's go on. Let's go on in the work. And so they went on to the work. When they went to Pergus, the Bible says that John Mark left them. Doesn't give us any details. A lot of commentators have their ideas what was going on, but all we know is that John Mark left. before that missionary journey was over. Later on, when Paul was ready to begin a second missionary journey, that missionary journey begins with contention. And we read about it in Acts chapter number 15. And let's look and see what happened, beginning in verse 36 of Acts chapter 15, verse number 36. The Bible says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again, visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." So Paul's second missionary journey, he thought that he could begin again with Barnabas and they could go back and visit all these churches and the works that they had begun. But Barnabas said, "Hey, I want to bring John Mark." And Paul was adamant. He was adamant. He didn't want John Mark to come. He did not feel John Mark was dependable. And so they basically split up. And sometimes God works this way. Instead of having one missionary group, there actually became two. And they went their separate ways and doing the work of God. But something had taken place between the second missionary journey and Paul writing the epistle to the Colossian believers. Somewhere along the line, perhaps it was during this missionary trip that he took with Barnabas, but Mark later proved himself. He proved himself to be a faithful minister, and Paul recognized it. And Paul, beyond that, he even commended him. Now, Paul was very adamant about not trusting Mark. Barnabas did. And Barnabas, the encourager, had a great impact in the life of John Mark. It's interesting, I think, as we read the commendation that Paul gives in Colossians about John Mark, that it spoke well, of course, of John Mark, but it also spoke well of the Apostle Paul, that he recognized that John Mark had changed. He was dependable and he was faithful. I would encourage each one of us, it doesn't matter, whenever we stumble, whenever we falter in ministry, or we falter in our lives, if you're a true believer, it's not always how you start that's going to count, but how you finish is so, so important. And it's interesting that with John Mark, he may not have started off the best, but he certainly ended on a high note. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and I'm reading beginning in verse number 9. Apostle Paul, this is the last known book that we have of the Apostle Paul before he was martyred for the cause of Christ. And he's writing it to Timothy. He's at the end of his ministry, towards the end of his life. And this is what he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. He writes to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And then here's his other friend Tychicus in verse 12, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." But notice what Paul writes about Mark. He says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me." I don't know where you're at today, friend, but don't ever let the devil convince you that God can't use you. Regardless of what, you may have faltered, you may have stumbled, but Christians need to get back up and not fall from the lie of Satan that would tell you that you're worthless and God can't use you anymore. That's not true. And Mark is a perfect example of that. Oh, and by the way, did I tell you that God used Mark to pen the Gospel of Mark? Yeah, that's the same guy. That's the same guy. Colossians chapter 4, talking about Mark, he says here, verse number 10, "And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments." I wonder, what does that phrase mean, touching whom ye receive commandments? I can't say this with complete certainty, but I believe the commandments, the letter that Paul's referring to here, these words, are probably recommendations for John Mark, because John Mark's testimony had been soiled. John Mark's testimony had been damaged. Why? Because he had left in the middle of a missionary journey, the first one listed that we read, after leaving the island of Cyprus. He had left. He'd soiled his testimony. He had heard his testimony. And word probably got out. The Apostle Paul, having seen the change and the faithfulness and the worthiness of John Mark, he probably sent these commandments. And he sent them to the church. He said, "Now listen, if John Mark comes to you, you receive him. You receive him joyfully and happily and graciously." Why? Because he is a good friend. He's a reconciled friend to the Apostle Paul. As we go through chapter 4 and we look at all of these friends that Paul lists, and we've still got some more to go, but the lesson here is not, do I have friends like these? Do I have friends like Tychicus, dependable friends? Do I have new friends like Onesimus? Or do I have a loyal friend like Aristarchus, who he's a friend for troubled times? It doesn't matter what happens, he's always going to have my back. Do I have a friend like that? Or maybe we're thinking, do I have a friend that we've reconciled and we're friends again, but we weren't for a while? That's not what the lesson's about. The lesson here is not, do I have friends like these, but rather, am I a friend to others like Paul's friends were to him? Am I a dependable friend? Can people trust me? Could God trust you to carry the epistles of Colossians and the church at Ephesus? Could he trust you to carry the letter to Philemon? Could he trust you to go over 1,000 miles and deliver those letters? Let us be a friend like Tychicus. And what about Onesimus? Are we being new friends? Are we reaching out to people who need a friend and being a friend to them? Am I a loyal friend, a friend for troubled times? You know, churches, just like people, have highs and lows. They'll go through the good times and the most difficult times. Ministries that way, you'll read stories about missionaries that are on the field for years and hardly see any movement, but God called them there, and they're planting the seed, and they're counting on churches to have their back. Are we that kind of friend that Paul had? And then Marcus, a reconciled friend. Listen, we can't change how the past has happened in our lives, and maybe we faltered, maybe we failed, but listen, God's the God of second chances and third chances and sometimes fourth chances, and on and on and on it goes. How are we going to finish? John Mark, to the best of our knowledge, he ended his life on a high note with the greatest recommendation that he could receive, and that was from the Apostle Paul to the church. So let me close today saying this. The lesson here is not, do I have friends like these, but rather, am I a friend to others like Paul's friends were to him?
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.